quit trying to be the most interesting person in the room and instead become the most interested person in the room. If you go out and you try to chase butterflies, you're not going to catch them. But if you build a beautiful garden, they will come to you. And it's the same thing. If you become invested and you pour into people, they're going to become interested rather than interesting in your whole leadership. Your business will thrive. Your customers will feel more validated and heard, and your whole business will just boom.
Microphone check, 1, 2, what is this?
You're now listening to a brand new episode of the Play Big Faster podcast.
Look what you done started.
Let's go.
Welcome to another episode of the Play Big Faster podcast. We are joined in this episode by Scott Rupp. Scott, thank you for joining us.
Hey, thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
So you have a new book out. Tell us about it.
I do. It's called I Quit, Winning the War for Top Talent. It's a deep dive into the psychology of the modern worker, trying to understand what is actually going on in this labor force post the pandemic. So it's a roadmap of how did we get here? What are workers thinking and wanting? And then a roadmap and solutions for employers to cultivate sustainable employees to succeed in this new labor paradigm.
Scott, let's unpack that, because when you talk about the modern worker, one term that I've learned since COVID is quiet quitting. Mm-hmm. What is that and how do we address it in the workforce?
Yeah, so quiet quitting, it originally came from China called lying flat and then became a quiet quitting in the U.S. But basically, it's that terminology of, hey, I'm only going to give my employer exactly the 40 hours. I'm not going to do anything above. That's it. So it's, I'm just putting in the bare minimum of what I have to do compared to the pre-pandemic where, you know, this massive push for productivity and the average worker was working, you know, 9-10 extra hours a week per free, not getting compensated, and just that drive that I have to do more stuff. So that's what the modern, you know, workers looking at as post-pandemic. That was a huge, significant emotional event for the entire country. A lot of people went through some pretty traumatic experiences. And what came out of that was the Great Resignation, which was people like, why am I doing this? Why am I working so many hours for free? Why am I driving 45 minutes one way to do the same job I can do from my kitchen? And so you got this collective pullback from the labor force called the Great Resignation. Now we're dealing with the aftermath of that, which I call the Great Disconnect, which is what employers want versus what employees want. And there's a big disconnect there.
Can you discuss some of the challenges that leaders face in navigating the current landscape for work?
Oh, man. Yeah. So just yesterday, Wall Street Journal just came out with a big article of how unhappy workers are. And the latest Gallup poll on workers just showed that the workers are more unhappy than they were during the pandemic. And so people are like, why? Companies threw money with raises and more benefits and stuff. So you have to understand, why are workers so unhappy? And you have to go back to what things were like pre-pandemic with this massive push for productivity, but there was so much anxiety and stress in the workforce. So the big thing for right now is for employers to understand where the average worker is. Why are they so unhappy? And that constant pull between work and wanting a life of significance and not having my life revolve around my work. So getting to understand what your employees truly are wanting and needing right now, that is the huge step right now for employers across the country.
I've noticed since COVID the rise of the gig economy. How do you think that's changing the way people approach work?
I think that's a symptom of the unhappiness and the people that pulled back during the Great Resignation said, hey, I'm not going to give you 40, 60, 80 hours of my life anymore. I need more of a balance. So they started to pull back. They started looking for jobs that allowed them to have a better work-life balance. Remote working did that. But the gig economy is a way for, hey, maybe I'm going to take a little bit of a haircut to maybe not work as much. Maybe I can stay home with my kids, or maybe I can avoid childcare, but I can pick up little contract work on the gig economy. Think sites like Fiverr and Poshmark, Shipt, Instacart, those types of gig economies are allowing people to have more control over their time and work when they want to, rather than being put into this old moniker of I have to go into work this day and I have to leave my kids and I have to take off if I have to take them to the doctor and things of that nature. So I think the whole gig economy is a symptom of the truly unhappiness that workers have been experiencing since the pandemic.
So Scott, advice, if I am leading a company and I'm trying to retain top talent, how do I do it? Because we have these symptoms out here that are indicative of post-pandemic, as you mentioned, anxiety and things like that. But as a leader of a company, how do I deal with this?
The very first thing is you have to get to know your employees. And what I mean by that is not like, oh, well, I know Bob, he works in accounting and his wife is Marjorie and they have two kids. No, not what we're talking about. We're talking about really, truly get to know them and what do they need? What align their goals as closely as you can with the company goals. Understand, how does this employee want to be appreciated? What is their language of appreciation? What is this employee's learning style? How can I help them achieve their goals and make sure that we're aligning those things and truly listen and get to know what is it that they actually need? Take steps to recognize the signs of trauma in the workforce, because there's a lot of trauma. Actually, the American Psychological Association came out, it was on Fox News 2 weeks ago, that they said that all their data shows that the U.S. adult population, aka the workforce, they went through a thing called collective trauma during the pandemic. And trauma affects the way our brains work. It creates new neural pathways. It affects all of our relationships. So looking out for some of these warning signs in your workforce of employees that maybe might need a little bit of assistance through an employee assistance program. If you don't have one, you should be starting one or adding to it right now. And providing some type of an avenue for counseling for employees, because they're still working through the residual trauma of those things. And we're seeing it in all the data that shows how unhappy your workers are. So the happier you can make your workers, the healthier they are, the more engaged they will be. And an engaged worker is so much more productive than an unengaged worker.
When I hear the word trauma, the first thing that I think about is maybe physical trauma, but this mm-hmm. does not necessarily mean physical trauma. What do you mean when you say trauma?
Trauma is a fascinating thing and how it affects the brain. A lot of people, they recognize it. Okay, a guy coming back or a lady coming back from serving in wartime, coming back from Iraq or Afghanistan, and they dealt with a lot of, they saw some bad, they saw their buddies being blown up and things of that nature. And so that affects how they might have PTSD. They might start to have trouble in their relationships. They can't sleep. They're irritable all the time. They're distancing themselves from their wife. It's because their body is still in a fight or flight mode, and they're still feeling the after effects of that trauma. And there's great therapies out there, EMDR being one of them, that can really help your brain reprocess those things and to create healthier neural pathways. So every time you're getting triggered by something which you might not even know, it's causing you to go in that fight or flight. But it doesn't just have to be something of being in wartime. If you're in the pandemic and you lose your job, your spouse loses your job, how are we going to pay for our things? Oh my gosh, I'm getting sick. Mom got sick. Maybe you lost someone. You couldn't say goodbye to them. You couldn't grieve with them. You couldn't go to their burial. All these things, plus this, the collective stress of everything that was going on in the world at that time, that can be a collective, multiple, I'm experiencing some traumatic things, not just one event. And so what we're seeing is that was a collective a traumatic event for a lot of people due to the massive amounts of stress and anxiety that they were under. And so that is affecting people in different ways. And one of the ways is they might get PTSD, which may affect the way they have relationships. They might just not be themselves. They might be continually being triggered by some anxiety, by some stress. And you're seeing that in other places in the workplace, and fear, FOMO, fear of missing out, imposter syndrome is on the rise. All of this type of collective anxiety that maybe has its roots in some of the things that the people had experienced years ago. So that's what we mean. It doesn't have to be a one-time event. It could be an exposure to a lot of stressful times that are built on top of each other. And that's what everybody went through.
Tell us about the book. How does all of this information that you're sharing today, do we get some more of this in the book?
So what we've been talking about is set the stage, the beginning of how did we get here? Understanding what trauma is and how it plays itself out in the workplace. So that's what got us from the pandemic And that's what created the Great Resignation, is where everyone was like, I'm up, I'm out, I'm not doing this anymore. I want to focus on my work-life balance. Then that led to the Great Disconnect, which is what we're dealing with near. And so what the book is called, I Quit, Winning the War for Top Talent, it's taking everything and all the data from the last several years and what is going on in the workforce and trying to help employers, leaders, team leaders, managers understand how to lead in this new labor paradigm, where you have a worker that is much more focused on a life of significance. They are not as inclined to build my new career and not as inclined to work my way up the corporate ladder. We're seeing it in just the different generations of a lot of CEOs are in older generations and they've been built a different, they've made it up through the company. But a lot of the younger workers have completely different views on the American dream and what is important. So it's understanding what does the modern worker want and how to engage them and how to motivate them. And so the most of the book is kind of solutions and a roadmap to understand the new paradigm of which we are working and how to take steps to make your company successful moving forward by what I call creating, cultivating sustainable employees. You don't want to go out and get the great new prior and then have them burn out after 2 weeks. You want them to be with you and grow with you over the years. And hey, if we can get 10 years out of a great employee, that's awesome. But right now the data is showing that especially the younger generations, they're moving jobs every 3 years and stuff. So how can we get the most of our employees and to get them to be to grow with the company rather than just I'm here and I'm out for the next new shiny thing?
What are some of the key takeaways that readers can expect from your book? And how do you hope that it can possibly impact the way leaders approach talent management?
So I think the number one takeaway is going to be that things are different and they're not going back to the old pre-pandemic drive for productivity. I have to work on the weekends. I have to send in work on my vacation or I'm going to miss out. Understanding that we're in a new paradigm and we're not going back to that. That's the first key takeaway. The other one is that once you accept that it's not going back, how do you position your company to engage and invest in your employees and what they need? So that's the second takeaway is things are different and we have to take proactive steps to invest in our employees, get to know them better, understand the cultural differences through the different generations and what the modern worker is actually wanting before we can even attempt to try to attract the best talent to our organization or not lose our best talent because they're getting pulled away by an organization that understands what they want.
Now, Scott, I know we just jumped into the book and everything the book is about, but I think what I failed to do was let our listeners know that you are a bit of a rock star. So I'm just looking at my notes. You have played in 2 Little League World Series. You've eaten dinner at the White House 3 times, which is 3 times more than I have. And you've had a political career. Tell us about it.
Yeah, I had a pretty interesting, blessed life. Yeah, I started off small business owner, built some businesses up, sold them off. Got the bug for politics, got elected when I was 27 years old. Made my Missouri State Senate. I was the youngest state senator in the history of Missouri. At one point, I was the senior most member of the Missouri State Senate at the age of 40. And so I was odd being the most senior guy there and being one of the youngest that was there. And then just was trying to go faster, be stronger in everything that I was supposed to do. And I had to take a step back. I ran for statewide office. I lost by 0.7%. And I thank those 0.7% every day for voting against me because it was the best wake-up call I needed for my life of just I needed to slow down and simplify my life, was trying to do too much. And I figured out, hey, I need to do something more sustainable. I need to be a better father, a better husband, a better leader, listen to my employees better and things. And so I just had to slow down and reevaluate. And so what I went through, I saw millions of people going through during the pandemic. And they were doing the same things I had done years ago. They were questioning themselves, reevaluating what is important. And so that's what really led me into to getting into this whole topic a little bit more was because of my personal experiences. When I've worked with CEOs and companies and thousands of employees trying to help them cultivate sustainable employees and use the things that I have learned. And my wife is a mental health counselor. She's taught me so many things about the brain and how it works and how we process information and negativity biases and all the different things that happen in our brain that we don't know about and how that just affects our daily work life. So I just took all that information and just started telling people my experiences. Hey, this is what I've learned. This is what I've seen. And people started to ask questions and we started learning more together.
Scott, Scott, if you had one piece of advice for entrepreneurs on how to play big faster, what would it be?
The one piece of advice I would give them all is quit trying to be the most interesting person in the room and instead become the most interested person in the room. For years, I used to walk into these events, especially in the world of politics, and you do a quick survey. Oh, I need to talk to that person. Oh, I want to talk to them. Oh, they're a big donor. And you just work your way through the audience, trying to extrapolate as much as you could out of the people that were there. My leadership game did not drastically excel until I quit doing that. And I started to focus on every single person I was talking to, giving them my full attention and become truly interested in their story, what they wanted, how I could help them. And once I became more interested in people, then that's when my leadership just grew and grew, because people, they felt the genuineness, the way you were really trying to pour into them, not just, oh, I'm on to you, now I'm off to the next person. I saw something the other day, it was perfect. It was, if you go out and you try to chase butterflies, you're not going to catch them. But if you build a beautiful garden, they will come to you. And it's the same thing. If you become invested and you pour into people, they'll come to you rather than try to chase the ones that you want to grab something from. So again, yeah, just become interested rather than interesting in your whole leadership. Your business will thrive. Your customers will feel more validated and heard, and your whole business will just boom.
Tell us where we can find the book and where we can contact you at.
Sure. Yeah. The book is available on Amazon. It's I Quit, Winning the War for Top Talent by Scott Roop. You just Google that in there. It goes there. Print, ebook, audiobook available. And if you want more information about me, go to scottroop.com. I have a weekly newsletter that kind of deals on all these subjects about what's going on in the workforce and things of leadership and that. And so I do a twice a week newsletter and blog. I'm on all the socials as well, which you can just find them all at scottroop.com. But yeah, just if you have a story about how your life has changed and how your views on work have changed, always looking for great feedback and stories, just drop me a line and tell me, hey, this is what you're witnessing. This is what you're seeing in your life and you know, how your relationship with work is changing. We love to hear those stories.
Thank you so much. And I'm going to make sure that I add those to the show notes as well.
Wonderful. Thank you.
And until next time, play big faster.
Thanks for listening to this episode. And remember to play big faster.